Tar, these letters are enough to strike fear into your heart. You may run away from, postpone. You may dread the DTR talk. Some young men will even terminate a relationship if they feel like the DTR talk is imminent. It is that official talk that takes place in every romantic relationship. Do you know what it stands for, DTR? Define the relationship. You sit down and you decide where things are going. Have things moved from casual to committed? I remember this date I went on in high school. On the very first date, the girl tried to have the DTR talk with me. First date, DTR. I got out of there PDQ. I just ran away.
Have you ever been there before? Well, the young boy with the lemonade stand, what did he have to do? He had to define the relationship. Am I going to continue with this? Is this going to become a business, or am I going to be a little boy? He had to define the relationship. In every relationship that we have in our lives, we have to define the relationship. I remember when I first started dating a little redheaded girl. And it wasn't long after we started dating that we had to come to some agreements about some things. Now, I thought it would be cool to date her and date another girl and date another girl. But that didn't work. We had to define the relationship. You know what I mean? Where is this thing going? Or is this going to be a committed relationship? And anything about relationships are two-way. It's not one gets to set the terms of the relationship. It's a two-way thing. So if I was going to date this little redheaded girl who I married and had three kids with and five grandkids with, we had to define the relationship. And we did, and I'm glad that we did. And so as we think about being not a fan, as we think about what we're talking about today in our spiritual relationship with God, we also have to come to the point that we DTR. And that's what we're going to talk about today, is defining the relationship. That's what you'll be talking about tonight in your life groups, is defining the relationships. See, we have people in all kinds of spiritual conditions here today. I understand that. You know, a church that has everybody committed followers of Christ has got a problem. They're not growing. You have to have people in your church who don't know Christ. You have to have people on all legs of their journey with Christ. You have to have some that are in the looking stage. You have to have some who are starting the dating relationship, but they're not totally committed yet. And then you have to have those who are totally committed followers of Christ. That is a healthy church. So by no means are we saying that if you're not a totally committed Christian today, that we're here today to judge you or condemn you, but we're here today to challenge you. Our life groups tonight, as we meet, we're going to be answering some hard questions about relationships. They're going to be very challenging, but we're not here to question your relationship. What I need to do is question my relationship. And that's what we need to do. We're not here to judge one another. We're not here to do anything like that and say you're not a good Christian because you're not where I'm at. No, not at all. This whole Not a Fan series is for you to take a look in the mirror and ask yourselves openly and honest these questions and to see where you are in your relationship with God. See, I don't care how long you've been a Christian. You always have room for improvement. Would you agree with that? I mean, you know, we think we're committed, and there may be one area of our lives that we're really committed in, and in another area of our lives, we're going to find out, hey, I'm just a fan. I'm not really committed. I'm just kind of casual about this. Well, this is what we want to be able to challenge. See, what we're going to try to do is to open a scenario for you to have the DTR talk with Jesus. And he says a lot about those who will have a relationship with him. It's not just on our terms. It's on His terms too. I want to share a verse of Scripture with you today. And it's found in Luke chapter 9 and verse 23. If you got your Bible and if you can see, follow me. If not, I think it'll be up here on the screen. Good deal. Then Jesus said to them all, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." He says three things here that defines the relationship that he is looking for. What was the first one? Let him deny himself. In other words, it's not going to be all about you. Sometimes you have to deny yourself. Then he says, number two, he says, take up his cross daily. It's not a weekly thing. It's not an occasional thing. It's a what kind of thing? Help me out here. Is anybody out there? You know the light. Okay, what about this side? Do you think it says what? Daily. Everybody say daily. Let's say that together. Daily. Let him take up his cross daily. And the third thing is, let him follow me. Follow. And the contrast that we're having here is, are we a fan or are we a follower? You know, there are people who really are not ready for the DTR talk. Like Kyle in the video here. First date. I mean, he just kind of going out with this girl to see, do I like her? I mean, she's pretty. She smells good and all of these kind of things. But she might be crazy. She might be this or that. And the first crack out of the barrel, she wants to define the relationship. Well, you know, it's the same way spiritually sometimes. You know, you come to a new church. We got first-time guests here today, and we're so glad that you're here today. And, if you're like I was raised in a very quiet church. This is not a quiet church. I was raised in a semi-formal church. I was raised United Methodist, I'm glad for my church background. But it's a whole lot different than what this one is. You know, and you come and you're checking out a church and you think, okay, I want to make sure that they're not a cult. I want to make sure that they're not crazy. I want to make sure that they're not going to swing from the chandeliers. This is different than what I'm used to. And it's called checking it out. And there's nothing wrong with that. And I think that there's a time in our lives that God begins to deal with us where we're at. I mean, here we are, most of us have been taught, especially if you come from a legalistic background, that God's mad at you, that He doesn't really like you. But if you're really, 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 really good, He might do something for you. And that's what we've been taught. I always thought that God had this big old fly swatter, and He was just waiting for me to mess up so He could mash me like a bug. Now, I don't know where I didn't get that from the Methodist church. That was just kind of my theology. I think it comes out of our fears that we have. Because we really know how flawed we are. We see our weaknesses and we see our problems. And we think, I don't even like me. I really don't feel good about myself. How could God love me? So I think God understands that. And He works with us, and He allows us to check Him out. And that's why we allow people to come here and just check us out. And we tell people all the time, hey, if we're not for you, we'll help you find a church. I don't believe everybody belongs here. I think that they could, but I don't think that they're ready for us. I don't know. That's not my deal. My deal is to get people plugged in. Plugged into Jesus and plugged into a body and doing something for the kingdom. But I think God allows us sometimes to court Him and date Him. And I think He courts us and dates us some. And then there are people who are in a relationship with God, but it's not that committed. And then you have people who are committed followers of Christ. But it doesn't really matter where we are in that scenario. We never completely arrive at what we should be. So even today, you're sitting back thinking, hey, listen, I'm a believer. I'm a follower of Jesus. I'm gung-ho. I'm all in. I'm all of this. Let me just challenge you to do something. In the next 6 weeks, open your heart up. Look at the areas of your life that this challenges you to do, and really see where you're at. You may find some areas of your life that are lacking. You know, even in marriage, you may have a good marriage. But you know, if you go to a marriage seminar, you may find some areas of your life that you can have a better marriage. And that's what this is all about. It's all the way from people who don't know Christ, people who are just casual about Christ, and even people who are committed to Christ, that we can have the kind of relationship with God that He wants us to have. But it begins with Him, but we have a part to play in it too. And we have to be honest with ourselves. Now, we do a lot of 12-step stuff around here, celebrate recovery and step studies and all of that. So a lot of you know what I'm talking about. Everything begins with being honest with yourself. And I think that the person that we lie to the most, folks, is ourselves. It's hard to be honest with somebody else when you're not even honest with yourself. So define the relationship. So we're going to have the DTR talk with Jesus. Let's give you a definition of a fan. It's on all the doors, as Joe said earlier today. A fan is an enthusiastic admirer. Do we have any sports fans in the house? Did I hear a hog call coming on? Ooh. Glory, glory. We got a few LSU fans. We're trying to convert them. But a fan is an enthusiastic admirer. So a sports fan, what does a sports fan do? He watches the games. If he can get tickets, he goes to the games. Has anybody ever been to a hog game? How many of you have been to a hog game? How many of you have never been to a hog game? Dude, you need to go. It's cool. They cheer. We had folks over the other night, and some of my family, and some folks over for the Cotton Bowl. We got some fans here for the Cotton Bowl, and man, we cheered, and those announcers, they're biased, and you know, we're fans, you know. They need to be talking good about Arkansas. But we cheered, and we knew how to cheer. You know, we even know the fight song. Hit that line, keep it going. Take the ball right down the field. Give a cheer, rah, rah. Never fear, Arkansas will never yield. We know that fight song. That's what a fan does. A fan's got the t-shirt. I've got a Sugar Bowl t-shirt. I've got just a Razorback t-shirt. I've got a dress shirt with a hog on it. I've got hats with hogs on it. The only thing I do not wear is that dumb-looking hog hat. If I get some jammies, I'd wear jammies with hogs. I'd even wear... Oh, well, never mind. I'm a fan. Now, there's a difference in a fan and a follower, okay? But we're talking about fans. See, I have a concern that our church has the potential of becoming a room full of fans. You know what we do? We come to church and we watch. We're sitting in rows looking at the backs of each other's head, and we're watching. Y'all did a little cheering this morning. God is good. Yay, glory, hallelujah. Clap, 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 clap. Raise your hands. There's nothing wrong with that. That's what fans do as well as followers. So what do? We come. We watch. We cheer. We even know the fight songs. We know the words to the songs. We know the scriptures. You know what? We even have the t-shirts. We may give in the offering when it comes by. And it's possible to do all of those things and still just be a fan and not a follower. I think one of the dilemmas that we have in America today, that we have churches full of fans. What Jesus is interested in is followers. He's interested in followers. So I guess the question today that you need to ask yourself as we define the relationship, are you a fan or are you a follower? So if we're honest with ourselves, if we really search our hearts and begin to define our relationship with Jesus, there are three questions that we need to ask ourselves. See, I'm not just asking you the question. I'm asking you to ask you the question. Because I'm not about judging. I didn't learn this soon enough, but I did learn it after several years of ministry. It's not my job to be the judge. It is my job to issue the challenge. I can judge you and condemn you. That will not change you. But if I challenge you and you judge yourself, then that's where life change takes place. What I hear in the world, oh, that the church is about condemning people. I understand there's a lot of churches that condemn people. We have to stand for what's right. But we can do it in a way that we're not condemning. But we need to challenge. We need to challenge people to become followers, fully committed followers of Jesus Christ. So if we do that, if we ask ourselves these questions, here are the questions that we need to ask ourselves. Number one, write these down if you're taking notes. Talk about these tonight in your life groups. There will be others that you talk about tonight in your life groups. Why are you here? Why are you here? I'm here for the what? There's a story in John chapter 6. I want to read a couple verses. But I'm going to begin with verse 2. And it says this. It says, then a great multitude followed him because they saw his signs which he performed on those who were diseased. They followed him for. Now, why did they follow him? And we're going to find out in a minute that they didn't stay. That many of them didn't stay because they were following for the wrong reason. Why did they follow? They wanted to see the miracles. They wanted to be healed. Is there anything wrong with wanting to be healed? No. But is that the reason that we follow? Is for the benefits that we get out of it? Is that the reason that we follow? It's for what God can do for us? Is that the only reason that we follow? If that is the only reason that we follow, when crunch time comes, guess what? We'll no longer follow. Why do we follow? Why do we follow today? We like the comfort of the church. We like so many things. There are different reasons to be socially acceptable. So for so many different reasons that we follow, or I have this need, and we all have needs, and God will meet our needs. But what happens when our needs are met? And we see this in our society today in America, that we are the most blessed nation in all the world. We have more opportunities in America than they have any other place. And steadily, more and more, Americans are not moving closer to God. They're moving further away from God. Now, that's sad. Who do the good things come from? They come from God. It's God who gives us all things freely to enjoy. It's God's delight to give you things to enjoy. But is that why we serve Him? Is that why we follow Him? Just for what He does for us? Because when crunch time comes, when the hard times come, and the provision doesn't come through like you think that it should, then all of a sudden you become bitter. And you cease to follow. Just a thought. Crunch time came in the 54th verse of the 6th chapter. Jesus begins to teach. You know what? As long as the bread was being divided and the fish and the loaves and you know, the 5,000 fed and the demons were cast out and the sick were being healed and the dead were being raised, He had enthusiastic followers or fans. Probably both. But then the crunch time came because He says something controversial. And then not everything that God says to us is easy to take. Because sometimes, no, not sometimes, a lot of the times He confronts our attitudes. We don't like, we love people to agree with us. In fact, we surround ourselves many times to our own detriment with people who agree with every dumb thing that we do. Oh yeah, brother, I'm with you. I'm with you all the way. Crash and burn, and you need me. Oh, hey, get away from me. No. Sometimes you need people who say, you know, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Hurt your feelings, but may save you some money. May save you a bad relationship. May save you a lot of things. We know that God doesn't always agree with us. And some of the things that He says goes against our own flesh sometimes. Isn't that true? Especially when I have to forgive somebody that's done me wrong. Especially when I want to smack somebody who said something ugly or did something ugly. And He says, I have to do what? For what? I don't want to forgive. I want to be vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, and I want to be the instrument that He uses to bring the vengeance. Turn the other what? That's not what we want to hear. But here's what He said in verse 54. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up the last day. Whoa. Everything was lovely until He said that. Eat your what? Drink your what? Jesus, are you crazy? Now, they didn't understand what He was saying. How is it that we live? It's through His death. How is it that we have life? As we partake of His death, His burial, His resurrection, we have life. They didn't understand that. How do we, what happens after we partake of life? It's death to self, and we don't like to hear that. So verse 66 says this, from that time many of His disciples went back and walked with Him no more. See, when it didn't go their way, when it wasn't what they wanted to hear, they did what? Well, forget this. You mean you got to do that? I ain't doing that. They followed Him no more. You know what Jesus did? He didn't say, oh, boys, wait, you misunderstood. He didn't say that. He let them go. He turned around to His own disciples. He turned around to the 12 and He says, you boys going too? You know what they said? Where would we go? You're the only one that has the words of life. They got what He was talking about. So I guess the question is in this define the relationship, this DTR talk that we need to ask ourselves, am I following Him for the benefits, or do I follow Him because I want Him? And I think that's the big question that we have to ask ourselves. So first question is what? Why am I here? The second question is, are you all in? Ooh. See, it gets a little harder. Why am I here? Are you all in? Well, If I can work it out. Well, if I got time. Well, you know, I got to go. Are you all in? That's the question. See, Jesus asked some people to follow him one time. And you know, the guy said to him, well, Lord, I need to first go bury my father. Well, his father wasn't even dead yet. He starts making excuses. But I think Jesus' question to us is, are you all in? Are you all in? See, one thing that we have done that is detrimental, and I think churches have facilitated this a lot, is that we have kind of customized Christianity. You know, you can go buy a car. And, you know, I went and bought a truck last year, and I bought a base model. My truck does not have electric windows. I could have added that $1,200. But I got those kind. My truck does not have cruise control. I could have added that $1,200. I could have added leather seats $1,200. I could have added nicer wheels $1,200. Well, that's $4,800. It's gone from a $20,000 truck to a $25,000 truck. And we customize. We're used to customizing things. We're used to picking and choosing what we want. And many times we have done that with Jesus. We try to customize Christianity. We want to define the relationship, and we want to define it on our terms. And we don't pay attention to what he says. He says, if you're going to have a relationship with me, he says, you're going to have to do what? You're going to have to deny yourself, take up your cross. Daily? Daily. I could go once a week if I don't have something else to do. He says, daily. And what? Follow me. So here's what we do. Here's how we do it. Jesus, I will follow you, but I won't let loose of my resentment. After all, that person or that church or that group did me wrong. I'll follow you, but I won't let loose of my resentment. Now, can I ask you a question? You know, is God being legalistic? No. Who does resentment hurt? It doesn't hurt the person that's being resented. It hurts the person who is holding the resentment. And it's not really possible to have the kind of relationship that you want to have with God when you hold resentment in your heart. Well, Jesus, I will follow you, but I'm never going to forgive so-and-so. They cheated on me. They did this. They did that. They don't deserve to be forgiven. Well, let me ask you a question, Hot Rod. Do you deserve to be forgiven? That's a big no. So what are we doing? We're defining the relationship. Jesus is defining the relationship. Who does unforgiveness hurt? The person who holds it. It's like embracing a rattlesnake. Well, Jesus, I will follow you, but don't talk to me about money. Oh, that's my money. I'll follow you, but let's don't get into that giving stuff. I work hard for my stuff. Oh, see, we got a whole big issue going here. Where do all good things come from? So who do all things belong to? And when you say it's mine, do we see a problem with defining the relationship that you're seeing yourself, that you are a self-made man, or that you did this, and because of this, you deserve this. I'll follow you, Jesus, but don't talk to me about money. I'll follow you, Jesus, but don't ask me to abstain from these sexual desires. I'm single, you know, and I got needs. or I've got problems in my marriage, and the only way that I can do this is by looking at things I don't need to be looking at. But I'll follow you, Jesus, but don't ask me to abstain from sexual desires. There's a whole bunch of stuff. Jesus, I'll follow you, but don't ask me to give my time. I don't have time to give time. Jesus, I'll follow you, but don't ask me not to be selfish. I mean, if I don't see after myself, who's going to see after me? See, do you see what's in that? We don't want to give God the control of our life. We don't recognize Him as the one who gives us what we need. And we don't look to Him as our source. We still see ourselves as our source. Jesus, I'll follow you, but don't ask me to get out of my comfort zone. Don't ask me to deal with my fears. I'm real comfortable with where I'm at. Fear is one of the greatest cripplers of Christians. Jesus, I'll follow you, but don't ask me to what? You fill in the blank. What is it? What is it in your life that God has dealt with? That you've compartmentalized? You have your church life. You have your secular life. You have this, and we compartmentalize everything. See, Jesus wants all of our life. See, what are we doing? We're having the DTR talk with Jesus. We're going to define the relationship. See, there's no special deals. Jesus doesn't give special deals. There's no bartering. There's no finagling. You have to go all in. That's what He's calling for. That's what He's challenging us to do. Question number 3. Have you made it your own? That's a good question. How many of you were raised in church? Let me see your hand. You've been in church all your life. Rest of you were heathens? Oh, okay. No, we're all heathens. We've all been heathens, haven't we? Have you made it your own? I started going to church as a small child. I went to church because mom and dad took me to church. I went to church when I did not want to go to church. Okay? There came a time in my life, I became a Christian when I was 19. I was almost grown before I became a Christian. Been in church since I can remember. Little bitty boy, I can remember going to church. But I didn't make it my own. And I'm talking about my relationship with God, my relationship through the church, through all of those. I didn't make it my own until I was 19. That's when it became real to me. See, you can't just do something because that's what you were taught to do. You can't just do something out of a habit. You got to do it. You got to make it your own. Now, then there's people who start the church because of a boyfriend or girlfriend. That's how you get started. There's nothing wrong with that, but you still have to come to the place where you make it your own. Some people go to church just to make their spouse happy. Now, don't elbow anybody next to you, please. Okay, we'll know that your hubby don't really want to be here. He's just here to make you happy. Listen, if that's you, I would ask you to say, okay, am I a fan or a follower? Okay? Here's a big one. Some people go to church because of the kids. If you do that, you're just robbing your kids. Well, I need to go to church. My kids need to know. No, wait a minute. What your kids need to see is that you're all in. And you don't go to church for your kids. You go to church for you. And your kids will be the greatest beneficiaries of that rather than you just going because of the kids. I don't get anything out of it. I go because of the kids. That's not all in. See, really, for it to work right, it needs to be modeled. Children need to see modeling. They need to see the Christian life modeled. If not, it'll show up later. Okay. Some people do it just because it's comfortable. It's the thing to do. It's socially acceptable. What would people think of me if I didn't go to church? See, and these people, they know people. They know the songs. They know the scriptures. They wear the t-shirts. They give in the offering sometimes. But the thing is, are you all in? Are you all in? And that's the question that we have to get to. I want to end this service with Luke 14. See, Jesus is not looking for second-handed relationships. He wants one with you. That's what he's looking for. He's looking for a relationship with you. And here is a hard, hard scripture. This is a toughie. Luke 14, 26. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And I don't know about you. I love my mom and dad. I love my wife and children and grandchildren. But this says that unless I hate, now there's a big contrast here. See, and I think what he's asking here is, where am I in your love chart? It's easy to say, I love God. Now, you got to consider what kind of love he loved us with. For God so loved the world. And that's not somebody that was friendly toward him, was it? That he gave his only son. I do not have a son that I would give to die for you. I don't love you like that. God loves you like that. And what he asks us to do is, compared to our love for him, it ought to look like hate for everybody else, even our own life. And here's what we have the tendency to do. We have the tendency to love ourselves more than God, to love our families more than God. But let me tell you how you can really love yourself and your family better is by putting God first in your life. You will be so much better off. And I think that's the contrast that he's saying here. See, these are the kind of things that would cause you to define the relationship. Am I really a fan or a follower? So today we'll be talking about the DTR, defining the relationship. Going to ask my prayer team to come real fast. I preached a little long today. I'm good at that. I'm not asking people to make decisions about following Christ today. We're always open to that if you're not a follower of Christ and want to become that. But we always have prayer at the end of our service because there's people here that always have some kind of spiritual need in their life. And we want to be open to that. We want to be sensitive to that. So as I pray, and if you have a need of any kind, these people can pray with you. They'll be tickled to pray with you. So you just feel free to come. Father God, we thank you today in Jesus' name. Thank you that you've loved us so much that you gave your only son. And Lord, open our hearts. Open our hearts that we can receive the message in which it was intended as a challenge for us to define our relationships with you. Father, reach out by your Holy Spirit today. Minister your grace and your love to each and every person here today. I thank you and I praise you in Christ's name. Amen. Would you come?